and it identifies passengers without travelers having to use their driver's license, passport, or boarding pass. The Clear Kiosk will be available at all LAX terminals in the near future, but travelers must sign up and enroll with Clear prior to using the technology in order to create a biometric account. I'm Jason Campidonia.
Forecasters are downgrading Cindy to a tropical depression after the storm made landfall early today along the Gulf Coast. The National Weather Service says expect the storm to weaken more over the next 48 hours, but not before it dumps 2 to 10 inches of rain. Forecasters say heavy downpours are possible today in East Texas, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With Quicken Loans, our simple process helps you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage. Call 800-QUICKEN or go completely online with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.23%. Call 800-QUICKEN or get started online at rocketmortgage.com. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
It looks like there's a new record for military snipers. Chris Barnes has this report.
The elite Joint Task Force 2 member took out an ISIS terrorist in Iraq from an almost unimaginable distance of 2.1 miles. Multiple reports out of Canada say it happened sometime within the last month and was independently verified by video camera and other hard data. To put it into perspective, that shot broke a record that had stood since 2009 when a British sniper killed a Taliban fighter from 1.5 miles away. I'm Chris Barnes.
Federal officials have announced new sanctions being placed against Russian citizens.
On Tuesday, the U.S. announced sanctions against dozens of Russian individuals and businesses, and now Russian officials say countermeasures are being prepared. A Russian foreign ministry spokesperson also said the cancellation of talks between the Russian deputy foreign minister and U.S. Undersecretary of State Thomas Shannon was not a response to the sanctions, but did say the atmosphere is not conducive to talks at this time.
Elon Musk is saying within decades, a city with 1 million people could be located on Mars. The SpaceX and Tesla founder says in the journal New Space, at some point the human species could face a doomsday event unless we become a, quote, truly multiplanetary species. Musk wrote in the journal a Mars colonial fleet could make multiple journeys to the red planet, building a population of 1 million in as little as 40 years. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. A little bit about today's weather. It's currently 86 degrees with a really comfortable humidity of 46%. It's mostly cloudy, though, this evening, you can look for, with a low around 69, southwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Showers, though, oh, no, that's for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have thunderstorms and showers, likely, but mostly after the commute when you get to work, not till after 9 o'clock. So today we look for a really good rest of the day, and I hope you enjoy it.
I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Well, welcome to Hunterdon County Chamber Radio and the inaugural airing of Life is a Spiritual Experience at www.chamberradio.com, call letters WHCRDB. We're talking about life as a spiritual experience, and I just want our listeners on this very first edition to say that I contend that each of us is a unique individual with our own peculiar combination of experiences accumulated over your lifetime. I might even suggest lifetimes. And that truth comes to each of us like a special kind of key, custom designed with little tiny grooves, many grooves and notches, that unique individual key is the only one that will fit, lock, and turn that lock, turn it open, the door for your inner understanding. In our studio today, I have a very special guest, a friend of mine for many, many years, Dr. Nikki Conti. And I'm going to call her Nikki. Nikki is a naturopathic doctor, a holistic doctor, and with a practice in Wachung. But Nikki, since you're our very first guest on this show that will air every Thursday it is, right? I always have to know what day of the week I'm in. Every third Thursday of the month. Tell me, Nikki, talk a little bit about this notion. I know that you've done some thinking about this because I've talked to you for many years. So what do you think a little bit about this notion of life being a spiritual occasion?
Well, thank you, Suzanne, for having me today. I have thought about it. And for me, a spiritual occasion is a celebration, celebrating all aspects of life. It's kind of seeing life through a wider prism, and it makes us more alive, more interconnected. You know, when I was about 10 years old, I was myopic, meaning that I was nearsighted, and I needed glasses. And so I couldn't see the blackboard, and I had to move closer and closer to the blackboard. And what that did was it made my world become smaller and smaller. And I couldn't understand why. And finally, someone, I think the teacher realized it and got me to get tested. And when I got my glasses, I saw things a lot brighter. And I could see farther, you know, because otherwise I could only see things close. But they were shinier. It's almost like life came into focus. And for me, it's an analogy of how life can be a spiritual occasion. When we could see life brighter and shinier and we could see farther and kind of like get that 360 viewpoint, that we could step back and see a greater perspective.
I think it's a good analogy, Nikki. And when you say step back, it just reminds me, I just happened to be driving home, I guess it was last week or so, and it was after a meeting that I had attended. And I don't know if you all are like me, if our listeners are like me, but I was rehashing that meeting. I was going over what I coulda, woulda, shoulda said, perhaps, mm-hmm. And what happened at the meeting and so forth. But I live out in the country, as many of us do, in this beautiful county of Hunterdon. And as I was going on these farm hills and roads, I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw this beautiful scene. The evening light was just perfect on the hills. I could see the winding road. And as I was appreciating that, it dawned on me, and when you talk about things lighting up for you mm-hmm. Taking you back to that occasion, I looked and I thought, you're looking in the rearview mirror. That's just what you were doing, driving on, talking to yourself, right, about this meeting where if I had only said, or why did that happen, and said that if we spend all of our time looking in the rearview mirror, and I realize that sometimes the rearview mirror is just the rearview mirror, but making that kind of sort of a bigger picture of how we experience life, or is it a spiritual occasion, I thought to myself, that's what I've been doing. There is a road ahead, and it's beautiful as well. There was more country road ahead of me and so forth. And I not only did I get a bigger perspective of just seeing the lovely scene, I could have said, isn't that pretty, and gone on. But when I got that perspective, for me, it was an understanding of how much time we spend looking behind us, how much yes. time we spend with things that have are done. You know, and as Thomas Jefferson says, you know, how many hours are spent with the ills that never happened. I'm paraphrasing big time, Thomas. Sorry about that. But that whole notion about, you know, rehashing or looking back instead of being in the moment, appreciating mm-hmm. that moment and moving forward. So I'm sorry to take so much of your time here, but I was just...
there's some great books about the power of now. You know, and living in the moment and what that does, it's letting go of the past, learning from the past, of course, learning from our history. A lot of us don't do that. But we could get the historical perspective from our lives and still live in the moment. And we could still plan for the future. We could look ahead. But what does the moment bring? I think a lot of us don't live in the moment. And living life as a spiritual occasion is living, at least for me, living life in the moment and seeing what life has to bring us in the moment and really appreciating and really being, you know, the word being, beingness, to really be in that space is really key for me. It's almost like a celebration of all aspects of my life. And with that comes these awareness, these greater moments of awareness. You know, you were talking about this trip that you took. And what amazed me, and I'm always amazed at life's little precious moments, is that you didn't have to contemplate on it later and try to fit it into, well, what does this mean? It came to you. It's these aha moments that come to us, you know, these moments of revelation, so to speak. But they're personal, and they're just for you, because if someone else...
That key that we talked about with the exact notches to open that door.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the perfect key, and it's for us. So that's why I tell people, you know, you could buy books on what certain things mean, but unless you live it and unless you see it for yourself, when you are in that moment of, I call it grace, you know, this moment of just...
We're getting heavy now. Nick.
Okay. It's all right. I think the audience could...
I think they can take it,
they
too.
They can take it, too.
Yes.
And maybe they might pause, you know, next time somebody is going down the road, and for them, something else will be revealed to them, you know?
Yeah. The reason came to me for this show that I wanted to share with our listeners, and I see this as sort of an exploration and a partnership with
yes.
our listeners as we move forward, is, you know, it's not to escape life, right? But to learn how to live it more richly, to learn how to enjoy it, and just as you just described. So,
and it doesn't mean that life is not going to bring us some hardships, you know. It's what we do with it, you know. It's not like life is always a party, but it's how we are in the moment and how much we learn from it, or we get a greater insight or greater awareness of what is going on. And like you said, it's tailor-made for us. When you speak about exploration, you know, I think about the explorers. They needed to be brave and adventurous. But some, you know, they weren't foolish. They brought tools along with them. But they were willing to take that leap, to have a greater scope of awareness and to go beyond what everybody else has told them, you know, that was the dogma of the day or whatever, you know, and they wanted to push the boundaries a little bit. And I think in some ways we could push our own boundaries a little bit, you know, to go beyond our fears, our limitations, things that hold us back.
So are you suggesting that life's not a random walk? Are you suggesting, you know, what if our lives and the meaning of our lives were not at the mercy of chance, you know, or if spiritual occasion is more in line with some sort of natural process that we need to discover? Just saying.
I personally think that everything that happens to me happens for me. I am not the victim. I really believe that everything happens for me, for my growth, for my spiritual growth, for my spiritual insight, so that I could learn to be a greater vehicle for love in this world.
Very nice. And I know that to be true about our guest, Nikki Conti. That is something that I experienced in our friendship. So tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the experiences that for you sort of build on. What I find when I think about this kind of conversation, or maybe you and I have talked about in the past, I find that it builds on itself. I was telling Nikki, we walked over here from another office here today, and I was telling her about this could be very inconsequential story about driving to work. And as I say, I'm a very lucky commuter. I have a beautiful commute over the farmlands and winding and all that, as many of you do. And there's two villages that I pass through. And these two villages have 25 miles an hour. There's houses very close to the road because they're old. And they're all lined up and so forth. And I tell you, I used to hold, and I might be worried about my time getting to work, and there's school buses. And as we all know, school buses now stop at every driveway. The only thing that saves me from reacting to that is that there's usually these little beautiful kids, right, with their little fuzzy boots. They're running out there.
They're adorable.
And they're they're getting waved at and all that. But anyway, I was driving one day to work on the late side, and anybody that knows me knows that happens a fair amount. And I was beginning to get impatient, because it was 25 miles an hour, and I was driving for bear, right? So I suddenly saw this mother and little kid getting on the bus and all, and I suddenly looked at all these houses in a row, and there's two of such villages. And in that moment, again, as you say, it's not something I contemplated, because I could have been contemplating about the school bus and how late I was. But I had this awareness at the moment that people... lives happen here. And here's this precious little kid, and I'm seeing fuzzy boots because that's what it happened to me. It was at the end of the winter. And suddenly that 25 mile an hour speed limit in both those villages became a connection for me with those people. And it literally changed my drive every day to work, because now, out of respect for the people who live in those houses, whose lives are like mine or like yours or whatever, I can't go flying through those towns anymore. I get there and I just, visualize the houses and the people that live there. And if it says 25 and I'm in that village, by golly, I'm going to do it. And if there's somebody behind me, they're going to wait for me to do it. And it's these sort of rich kind of awarenesses that arrive that, I have to tell you, it's not too articulately, but it takes the trouble out of life. It takes the trouble away from something that just ordinarily I could go into an old other place in my mind and heart and have a lot to say about the school buses and the 25 miles an hour. It's not that way anymore, and I never approach either one of those villages without sort of, on some level, not consciously perhaps, but some level, connecting with the people that live there. And you want to know something? That brings me delight.
And you made a really good point about that experience, is because once you've had that experience, it will never be the same. You won't go back to doing the same thing, because now you have a greater sense of awareness. And I have to tell you, Suzanne, when you told me that story before, I was delighted. And as I was coming here, I was in the same kind of situation, and I remembered your story. And that's what's beautiful about stories. We could remember them, but then we could take it to be our own. And so as I was driving, I had this feeling of, oh my God, all life is so precious. I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt that. So I started slowing down. And it was easy. It wasn't like I was doing it begrudgingly. There was an ease and a love, that happened. So thank you so much for sharing that story with me. And I hope the listening audience maybe will find something for them in that story as well.
I'm wondering what the person behind me who's shaking their finger at me is thinking at the very same time. But you know what?
It's on them.
I'm enjoying it. So how does this play out on the day-to-day? You know, I want our listeners to know that just because we're paying this kind of attention to the quality of our life doesn't mean that everything is roses, right? We have the same trials and tribulations in our life as anybody else, and at times follow those paths that we used to or that somebody else. But this business of being more aware of who we are and what our intention is, what have we decided to do about life as a spiritual occasion?
I think the word intention is very important. What our intention and attention is. Where do we put our attention? And what is our intention behind that? I think that opens us up to a more rich life. And it brings an increased awareness to what we're doing so that we're not, again, we're not in a reactive mode, but we're almost co-workers. You know, we're co-workers with life. We are working together for the betterment of all, you know. And with that, I see that as divine love. You know,
oh, wow.
I use that as divine love. It's a word that, you know, some people might have trouble with or whatever, but it's beyond human love. It's like this interconnected rhythm of life, as you mentioned before. And to me, that's working with the rhythm of life.
If I have to just say this, that if anybody knows me, they know I can't dance worth a dime, right? But when I hear you, I had this sort of visual, Nikki, of you talking about dancing with this rhythm, dancing with how life approaches us.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's something that we could all become more aware with, and it's going to be, we know that our lives are not the same. And I suspect, I have to stop a minute and let everybody know that the voice of Huntingdon Chamber Radio, Chris Bianco, is here with me because this is really only my second go at this on the radio, and he's holding my hand through all this. But our lives aren't the same as Chris's and his, ours, and so forth. So we know that it's individual, and yet there are so many things that are, it's about life with a capital L, right? That face all of us each and every day. That it's more than a perspective. It's an awareness. I'm gonna reach way out there and talk about consciousness. I mean, what is it that we decide that we are going to allow in? Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sort of see two steps to this. I see this sort of side where we decide. We have a discipline. We decide that this is the way we want to look. We want to look at life as if it were a spiritual occasion. So we do that. But then the passive or the receiving end of that creativity is allowing it to show up. Allowing it in, you know, the versus looking at, isn't that a pretty day in my rearview mirror, versus, wait a minute, Suzanne, you were just living in your rearview, you know.
Right.
So it's you have the discipline of creating to do that, saying you're going to do it just because you say so, perhaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the receiving of that then is allowing the evidence to actually show up for you.
That's beautiful.
Well, it's how I see it. But I'm going to have you back, Nikki, because I love that.
I think we could do a whole show on just that. But there's something about this. There's two ways I see. Sometimes you get the aha moment all at once. You know, everything comes together, and you get a really good aha moment. And then other times it comes in little baby steps, where you have to create the discipline in your life. And again, this is where the intention is, the discipline to do something to get you to that place where you are in a place where you're receiving and you have more receptivity in your life. So there's two of them, you know, the aha and the baby steps that we take. And they're not mutually exclusive. You could have both of them at the same time, or you can work towards it. Sometimes we're shown something first, And then we have to take the baby steps to stay there. You know, sometimes we get the aha state just to show us, you know, this is possible, the possibility of you being this way all the time, as opposed to going back to, oh, okay, life is a drudgery or whatever.
I think you've hit on something, because the difference of this aha moment, all of us, I'm going to make a statement that I bet you everybody listening to this, or anybody I certainly know, has aha moments. And we appreciate them, and we might repeat that story. But the discipline comes, or the commitment to enjoying life, or to understanding it. It's not always, as you said earlier on in the program, it's not always a party,
right?
But to understanding things that come our way,
mm-hmm.
And so that the difference for me, besides this aha moment which we've all had, and hanging with it, if you will, and learning to understand, what does that aha moment really mean in my inner world, in my life, in my being connected to other people, and how I live every day? You know, so I like that. Gee, we're like this mutual admiration society. But, you know, obviously we've had conversations. The reason I invited Dr. Nikki Connie to be with us today on 100 and Chamber Radio is because we've had lots of these conversations about, you know, I was going to say trite, and I don't mean that word, but, you know, what is the meaning of life, right? And we've tossed this all around, you know, mm-hmm. for many years in our over cups of coffee or whatever it is. And so for me, I think that that's pretty important.
Yeah. I think that there are people who you want to be around, and these people, I call them, have a higher spiritual consciousness, so to speak. And so those are the people that whenever you see someone acting with love or goodwill or charity or compassion, a person who actually lives in these qualities, then you're seeing a person who's truly genuine and who's living life, and they're not being, I don't like to use the word victim so much, but they're not reactive. They're not being reactive to life. That they are taking charge, and again, back to the dancing analogy, they're dancing to life. You know, they're dancing to that rhythm. And so those are the kinds of people that I like to associate with, and a lot of people do. And these are the people who are not so angry and not so reactive. And, you know, in these days, there's people that are reactive for all kinds of reasons. And so this is really a good opportunity for us to take a good look at ourselves and see, what kind of person do we want to be? You know?
Yeah.
How do you want to show up in your life?
And it is a commitment.
It is.
It's a decision. It's a commitment. And then life rewards you, in my opinion.
I think it does.
Yeah. Nikki, we're going to take a break for a moment here and catch folks up on the news. But when we come back, I'd like you to just think a minute. Do you think that you and I are the only ones in the world having this conversation? Do you think that there are other people that look into the meaning and or who live life, the good times and the rougher times, with such delight as I think we've, you know, experienced in our lives? So I'm going to break for the news at this moment, and let me see if I can do that with Chris Bianco at my side.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
As we look at the expense of the bill, we actually believe in the first year or two that it may well cost more than Obamacare.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul saying, as is, he's not going to vote for the Republican health care plan. He's joined with Utah's Mike Lee, Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, and Texan Ted Cruz in saying they won't vote for the bill. That would be enough to sink the bill if all Democrats vote against it.
I'm open to voting for it, but I think with a group of people, we have a little better chance of actually getting it modified. The four of us have said we cannot support the bill in its current iteration.
Tropical Storm Cindy has been downgraded to a tropical depression, but Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards telling his state's residents they're not out of the woods yet.
There also is an elevated risk of tornadoes across Louisiana as well. In fact, the tornado watch continues.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. you can shirk that responsibility because my extra crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded extra crispy chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Staples knows that when the...
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
You still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens.
So welcome back to the inaugural airing, if you will, of Life is a Spiritual Occasion at WHCR-DB. My guest this afternoon is Dr. Nikki Conti. Nikki is a naturopathic doctor, a health practitioner in Watchung. But we've been talking about our experience of life being a spiritual occasion. And in this particular first airing of our show, what is it that we'll be talking about as the year goes on, as we talk about life being a spiritual occasion? And I guess, Nikki, when we went to break, I said, you know, are you and I the only ones having these conversations, or do you think that there's folks looking for this rhythm, this meaning of life that we've been talking about in our first half hour?
Well, the meaning of life has been debated over
millennia,
from philosophers to Oprah to all kinds of people in between.
You're catching us up, though, with Oprah. Thanks. That's great.
But one of the things that came up for me was, what are we learning from this? You know, okay, so we get this greater awareness, and what are some of the practical stuff that we can get from this? And one of the things I was reminded lately is the idea of patience. You know, I always, not prided myself, but I always thought of myself as someone who was pretty patient. And so I had an experience with my mother. My mother is an old elderly woman who's starting to have some signs of dementia. And so she repeats things a lot, and she gets anxious. And she's about 85. And she, the other day I went to help her with something. And after the fifth time of not just saying it over, but asking me questions about it, and I said to her, Mom, just stop and remember. Try to remember what you just said, because this is the fourth time. But it wasn't so much that she was asking me this for the fourth time. It was that she was very anxious, and she wanted to know the answer right away, and she had this tone about her. And I don't know if any of you are dealing with any of this in your lives, but it can be pretty trying at times. And so I said to her, Mom, think about this, and this is the fourth time. And then she said to me, well, you know, dear, you have to be more patient with me. I'm sort of forgetting. She calls it holes in her memory, which I think is a really cute way of saying that.
Scares me.
She says that I needed to have more patience with her. And when she first said it, I sort of reacted a little bit to it. Because, again, I always thought of myself as being a very patient person. But then I thought, what is this really about for me. And I had to step back, and I said to her, you're absolutely right, Mom. I will make it my best. I will try my best to be more patient with you. Well, later on during the day, I had to take her to the bank, and as we were driving, this man cuts off in front of me. This is in New York, and New York drivers can be a little bit more aggressive. And so he cut off right in front of me, and I thought, he's not going anywhere fast. There's a lot of traffic. And I thought, oh, how impatient is he? And in the moment...
It's always the he or the she.
Or the she. But in the moment, I thought, okay, so here's two scenarios. One is where my mother's talking about me being impatient, and now I'm talking about this driver being impatient. And it came to me, this is by no coincidence, that these two things are happening back to back, so I could see the interconnectedness of it. And I thought, you know, this person who just cut me off probably doesn't even see themselves as impatient. They probably are thinking, you know, they needed to go from point A to point B, and who cares? They're just going to pull in or whatever. And who am I to judge them? As you said before, other people saying some profane things or gestures or whatever. But in that moment, I thought, wow, I get it about patience. There is an infinite level of, there's like a spectrum of patience. Just like there's a spectrum of any other qualities in life. You think you have it, but do you have infinite patience? You know, how much more patient can you really be? And in that moment, I realized, wow, life was teaching me something. Unless that man cut me off, I would have never really seen that other aspect of it. And to me, that is the synchronicity of life. But we have to be ready and open and aware to that. So this came to me, and this is what I call grace. Grace to me is the ability to, like you said, receive. Earlier we talked about the receptivity. In our receptivity, grace comes to us. And in that grace, we're able to get more of what life has to offer and the insights that come with it. And so I was very grateful for this man cutting me off. And which is not the usual reaction to something like that, but this is another life's lessons that we get.
And do you find that the more we allow that in, as I say, you know, the once you make that decision that you plan to look at life or recognize, not look at, it's nothing we make up, it's that we recognize that. Once you do, that you have more and more of these opportunities to understand yourself and all of life?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, it wasn't like I sat and I said, okay, I'm going to fit this into this mold, or I choose to look at it from this perspective or that perspective. In that moment, it just came to me.
It just arrives, doesn't it?
It just arrives. It arrives. And when it arrives, it's so clear. There's a clarity, just like, you know, my putting on the glasses when I was 10 years old. It arrives with such clarity, and it arrives whole. You know, it doesn't arrive in fragments. It's just, there it is. And I felt good. It changed my whole day, I have to tell you. I was able to let go of something. I felt free. And that's the other part, is when we have these moments, we have opportunities to experience freedom. And to me, freedom is letting go of the things that hold us back.
The
limitations that we put on ourselves. You know, it's all about those limitations. And some of them we're not even aware of. So we are, it's being brought up to the surface for us to deal with it, those limitations.
At the very superficial level of that, Nikki, as you talk, it's, you know, someone might describe, you know, you said it changed my whole day. Someone could say it changes your mood. But when that change in mood comes with a lesson that sticks that sticks.
Yes.
A lesson that changes how you view life.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just mood.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It wasn't just my mood that changed, although that did change. But it's an awareness. It's a deeper meaning of life. And also to realize, again, back to what I was saying before, I really believe that everything happens for me, for my spiritual growth, for me to get an opportunity to give and receive love. And so this was another lesson, another opportunity for me to see that. Because 5 seconds, I would have, the man would not have cut in front of me, and I would have missed that. But it happened, the timing of it was so specific. It's like that key that you mentioned before, Suzanne. It's like that special key just for me, just for that moment, just for that moment in eternity, I call it.
Yeah.
You know, to open me up to a greater sense of awareness.
Wow. Nikki, I don't want to put a pall on this conversation, but I have a question that I think that if we didn't ask might show up as missing for our listeners. And that is, you know, can life be a spiritual occasion when tragedy hits? If we have negative things happen in our life, where does this lesson learning? What are, you know, we're giving examples of how it's specific for us and how we learn and how it's really helped us grow, I would say, our consciousness or our awareness or whatever we would say. So when bad things happen to good people, no,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in the face of tragedy, can you mm-hmm. still understand life being a spiritual occasion or one that is so specifically designed for each of us individually?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's going to be tragic stuff happen to us or bad stuff, accidents, health. You know, I'm in the health profession, so every day I hear people with their health stories. And they come to me, and we have an opportunity sometimes to go beyond what the physicality is happening at the moment and how they're handling it. And it goes beyond just the mind thing. It goes beyond just the mind is trying to find a way to excuse it or to say, okay, this happened to me because I, whatever, fill
yes.
in the blanks,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so I have that opportunity, and it's wonderful for me when I have these moments where I could share and listen to my clients talk to me about how they perceive life, even in the face of the most incredible physical tragedies or restrictions that they have. But I wanted to share the story of a friend of mine who passed away just the other day.
Okay, I think that before you start that, let's take a break to hear from our sponsors that help all this happen. And when we
Great.
Come back, I'm going to remind you to start with that story, if you will. Wouldn't you think 43?
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure.
I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one
goes. Well, welcome back. Life is a spiritual occasion. And if you're just picking up on this, we're talking to Dr. Nikki Conti, who is a naturopathic doctor, a holistic practitioner in Watchung. And just before our break, Nikki, you were about to relate a story about a friend of yours, because we had said, you know, this sounds very positive, the things that we're learning or the things that we're talking about if we dance with this rhythm that life presents us. And my question to you was, you know, does this kind of approach to life, this being in rhythm with life, work even in an occasion, say, tragedy or mm-hmm. you know, when the quote bad things happen to good people that we hear so often?
Well, I think one of the things that happen is that what keeps us from living life in its fullest is sometimes fear. And it's the fear that keeps us from living life. And when we have fear, it closes the consciousness and it keeps us small. And there's a lot of fear around tragedies. Tragedies, I could say it.
How about French, Nikki?
Yes, I could speak in French. But one of the tragedies that happened is a friend of mine died suddenly. And he was in his 60s, and he had diabetes, and he wound up with some renal failure, that's kidney failure. And he was in the hospital, and he had pneumonia, so they had to put tubes. He was intubated, so he couldn't speak. Now, this friend of ours, he was such a giver of life. He used to help people all the time, and he was such a talker. And he would talk and help people no matter what their situation in life was. And here he is, he can't talk, he can't speak, and he could barely write what he wanted at the hospital. And I decided to go see him. Well, I get there, he's got lots of people in the room, they're having a hangout, you know, like a little party. And I thought, wow, that's different. And there were people who didn't know each other, but they were meeting each other and talking and conversing and trying to figure out how to help this man and bring him stuff, what he needed. And I thought, okay, he's done. You know, from a medical perspective, I'm thinking, he's out of here, you know. I looked at his chart and, you know, why is he still here in a way? You know, he's ready to go. He told me that he's ready to go, and yet he's still there. And so the question to me was, to myself, was why is this happening to him? And what's really, what else is happening? And the aha that came to me, because I do have a lot of ahas in my life, the aha that came to me was just watch. Just watch the interaction that is happening in the room. Watch the love that is being shared. And then I remembered this man was always a giver and he was always a talker. And for once, he couldn't talk. And he had to receive. He had to be in the situation where he was the receiver. And I thought about that. You know, we, as a caregiver, we always give, and it's hard for us sometimes to receive. And here's a situation where he had to receive. And what I got was, in the receiving, when you let someone give you stuff, because I'm a giver, I'm always giving, people have told me that many times.
Just to find stuff. You know, no, seriously, I mean, when you say you let somebody give to you,
right,
that doesn't necessarily mean stuff, material stuff.
No,
I just wanted to...
It could be...
Yeah.
It could be it could just be them sitting there and talking to you, or making sure that you have whatever you need at home, whatever. It doesn't have to be stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the act of giving and receiving. And I learned a really important lesson about receiving. When you let somebody give to you, you are giving them a gift. And I never thought of it as a gift. You are giving them a gift so that they can be the giver instead of the recipient, for once. And in that giving, they feel better. So all of this was happening while I was just sitting with this guy in, you know, in the hospital.
The entourage.
Room, the entourage. There was an entourage. And I thought, this is not an entourage of grief, this was an entourage of love. And the man passed, my friend, passed away very quickly after that. But that stayed with me as a gift of love, even in his last days, a gift to all of the people that were there. And they felt it. They felt the love that he had even in that last moment of his life.
Wow.
And so for me, yes, life is an occasion, even within the tragedies that happened to us. It was a reminder of that for me.
And we can't speak for your friend, but, you know, it's our life. It's our individual key. It's our dance with the rhythm.
Absolutely.
And so it's how we work with our lives and how we see what's happening around us. And that is for each individual to become more and more aware of, or more and more conscious of, as they move along in life.
And one of the things, again, talking about fear, is when the fear keeps us from living life to its fullest, whether it's fear of death or fear of living or fear of whatever, you know, whether it's stress or anxiety or substance abuse, substance use disorders, now that it's politically correct to say, the fear takes away the joy and the freedom of living, and it makes our lives small. One of the things I found for myself is there are tools that we can use in this spiritual exploration, in this spiritual occasion, that has helped me to take those little baby steps so that I could go within myself and really experience the truth for myself.
Nikki, we're getting a little bit close here to the end of the show, and I so thank you for your insights, and because I know you well, I know that that is how you live your life. It is a spiritual occasion for you, and that you share it so easily and so givingly with others. I'm going to make a few statements here, and I think that it, just in summary, and please add to this, is that we're saying here that living life as a spiritual occasion doesn't mean that it's all a party,
right?
That it's not necessarily all the greatest in the world, but that we learn and we see it, and that we're free from some of the reactions and the heaviness that happens with that. The other thing I think we talked about is that our awareness is sort of a living thing. It grows organically.
Mm-hmm.
As we become more and more aware of this dance of life, or how life is a spiritual occasion, that it gives back. And then I'm going to make a prediction. Thank you for sharing this very first show of Life as a Spiritual Occasion, that this show is actually going to form a partnership with our listeners as we go forward in this exploration of life as a spiritual occasion, and the sort of the rhythm and the meaning of life. in the most mundane areas of our life. We don't have to look for huge ahas, although we've shared some. And we don't have that in the very small things, driving through a 25-mile-an-hour restriction or those kinds of things, that there are lessons constantly if we actively decide that we're in partnership, that we're going to dance with that rhythm, and then allow it to show up for us, welcome it, you know, with gratitude that these lessons are occurring. And I wondered if you had any closing remarks for our listeners.
Gratitude.
Put me on the spot here.
Gratitude. I'm so glad you talked about gratitude, because gratitude is that space that opens our heart. And when we are in a state of gratitude, it really, really helps. And one of the tools, you know, I talked earlier about this idea of spiritual exploration. One of the tools that I have found that has helped me is to go within. And one of the tools that I found that helps me to go within is this word, HU. And it helps me to listen to that deeper side of me and to get to the truth that is within me.
That it's a word?
It's a word. It's a chant.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
It's a very ancient word, but it has a vibrational tone to it that is an alignment with each of us. And it doesn't matter who you are, what religion or whatever spiritual paths you're on, anyone can do this, because it opens up, it aligns you to who you truly are, and it opens you up to even more love in your life.
I had this visual of a tuning fork or something, you know, how you go bing, and then suddenly you do everything. Yeah.
And that tuning fork is that sound behind all sound, and the hue is within that. It's the sound behind all sounds. It's the sound in nature, it's the sound of waterfalls and birds chirping. Mm. It's that sine wave. I'm a scientist at heart, and I think about that vibration, you know, that helps us to dance, but it helps you to get even more clarity and more insight into your own truth, into your own divinity, so to speak.
Thank you for sharing that. Nikki, thank you for being here. This is a tall order to say we're starting a new show with a kind of unusual topic, and we will be here actually every third Thursday of the month from 4 to 5 on 100andchamberradio.com or WCHRDB. Don't forget that come tomorrow, anybody that wants to hear the podcast of this show can download it and listen to how it is you and I have sort of set the stage for the coming year for life being a spiritual occasion. And Chris Bianco, who is the voice of Chamber Radio, and what do we say, Mr. What do they call you, Chris?
Big C
is with you every morning from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10, as I said. But he's been here with me, holding my hand and telling me, oops, push this button, do this, mark that, and so forth. So a big, big help. Once again, thank you very much. Nikki, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here and being your first guest on this wonderful life as a spiritual occasion.
It's an exploration that I'm hoping we're in partnership with our listeners as we move forward through the year. We'll show up again here at on Thursday the 20th from 4 to 5, and our guest will be Dr. Jody Dinnerman, who is a chiropractor. And remember that life doesn't have to be perfect to be wonderful.
Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance.
And Trump says he would ban people new to the United States from receiving welfare benefits for 5 years.
Trump also insisted that the wall on the border with Mexico will be built and that he wants to make it a solar wall.
We're thinking about building the wall as a solar wall so it creates energy and pays for itself.
The FBI says it's investigating the stabbing at a Michigan airport as an act of terrorism. As a special agent confirms, the suspect shouted Allahu Akbar before stabbing Officer Jeff Neville in the neck with a 12-inch knife yesterday at Flint's Bishop Airport. Neville's expected to make a full recovery. The FBI says the suspect has a hatred for America. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. I need to take care of my heart at the cellular level with Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 from Life Extension. This powerful antioxidant promotes heart health and cellular energy production. Now you can get Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 at half off, plus free shipping and handling, plus a free six-month subscription to Life Extension magazine. Call toll-free 855-870-6622.